Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hi, Nana. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. Dying of heat. it's disgusting. You know, the kind of heat that you just can't even think straight. And it's in the morning right now, and it's still, it's disgusting. Yesterday was 103 or something, and it's going to be even hotter today and for the rest of the week. So, summer's back.
I like it.
Yeah. That hot?
Yeah.
You like it that hot?
Well, here's my thing, and I say this all the time, even for winter. As long as I'm not standing outside, and for the most part, you know, being fortunate enough having a car, I don't have public transportation, I necessarily have to be outside. Yeah. It's not like a big deal to me. I'm usually indoors where I see or something, so I don't know.
I feel like I'm feeling it because yesterday I was trying to hang out with my friends, and everyone was just too hot and irritable to even enjoy being outside. You can't sit in a restaurant outside. It's like, what's the point of summer if you're housebound?
That's what the thing is. Like, I haven't really tried to hang out outside, I guess.
No, I'm still kind of
worry of, I don't know what's happening. I go to a pool, mm-hmm. But I'm just like, I'm vaccinated, but corona is still alive. But I'm traveling next week, so we'll see.
Okay. It's horrible. But yeah, and it makes you tired as well. I feel like I'm just realizing it more because my friend is visiting from your neck of the woods, actually. And we were trying to do stuff, and everyone's like, we're just tired. It's draining, this heat. But it's cool. I mean, whatever the weather is, I'm sure I'll find a way to complain about it. So yeah. But anyway, back to Sex and the City. We are on episode 14 of season 3, and this episode was called Sex and Another City, which means yes, they are still in LA. They are still in LA. And I'm going to give a brief recap for those of you who didn't get a chance to watch. Things between Charlotte and Trey are strained still. Carrie finds out that the man she's dating isn't who he says he is. Samantha meets her idol, Hugh Hefner. And Miranda is shocked when she meets an old friend. What did you think of the episode?
It was okay. I think I was just thinking, go back to New York. I never thought I'd say that. It's like, okay, we've had enough. Go back to New York.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm sure this would have been so exciting when I was younger. Like, oh, they're in a different city. But now I'm just like, okay, two episodes is too much. They could have and kept it pushing. But two is too much. I agree with you. Go back to New York. I did like this one much better than the last episode, I will say. So it improved. Okay.
I think what I liked about it was all four of them together.
Yes, it was nice.
That's always a good thing. So
yeah, and I just feel like we had more actual typical Sex and the City storylines as well this episode.
It's just crazy, but they really do bounce off each other. You might think one person is not an important player or whatever, but you put them all together and you remember why, you know, they're iconic. Yeah. Like, they just had good chemistry, and it's season three. And it's season three, so now they're just getting into their groove, or actually they have settled into their groove, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm not looking forward to the reboot, but anyway. At all, but who knows. So we start the episode with the women still in LA, like I mentioned, and Carrie decides to get a bikini wax, but the wax takes off way more than when she gets everything taken off. And she's by the pool in an amazing green monokini. She looks so good. And she's complaining to Samantha and Miranda about it. And Samantha informs her that it's called a Brazilian wax. And it can make you do crazy things. So she should be very careful who she invites to Brazil. And to me, it sounded like she got a Hollywood. But maybe those terms weren't used back then. She's complaining that she took everything off.
I still don't even know part of Hollywood. I've always known it as a Brazilian wax.
Hollywood is when they take everything off. Brazilian, they still leave a little bit of hair, which is why Samantha was like, wait, she didn't leave a little bit? Like, nothing? That's a Brazilian. She should have, like, you know what I mean? Usually yeah, they leave a tiny bit of hair. And they call everything off for Hollywood.
That's what I'm saying. Even at my place, I'm dabbing where I wax. When you're taking, we call it a Brazilian. And then okay. If you're not leaving a bit, it's called a fool. So this is the first time I'm hearing of the term Hollywood. I've always known the Brazilian to always be take everything off, including a little bit of the ass hairs. Be there.
Yeah. So Miranda says she's off to meet her old friend from New York, Lou, who is now a writer for a hit TV show in LA. And she says she's looking forward to bitching about LA with him. She meets him at a restaurant called The Flowing Tree, and it's exactly like the name sounds. It's like super hipster, new agey. And she's shocked when Lou looks nothing like the pale, schlubby guy that she used to know. And she immediately starts making fun of LA, but he shuts her down and says he likes it there. He says he's one of those happy people they used to make fun of now since he let that old toxic anger go. And then he asks her to go for a hike. And she looks as astounded as I am. I'm just like, how are you inviting people to go for a hike as like a fun activity at lunch? So yeah, she's
I've just never thought I would survive in LA. I always thought that. I graduated college, I wanted to move to LA and it was so great. But then I visited and I always say it was the most disappointing from what I thought it was to what I saw. Mm-hmm. And the more I got to know about it, how pretentious they are, and how it's just like a different culture, I don't think I'll make it. I feel like LA is like a living, breathing, live Instagram. Like you just have to be at your best self at all times. So, yeah.
Also, I'm so glad you said that.
Oh, why?
No, because yesterday I was literally having an argument with my friend because she says Dallas reminds her of LA. She moved from California to here. And I was just like, I don't see it. Well, and I do think Dallas people can be superficial as well. Like they have that vibe going. But I don't live in LA, so this is all stereotypes for me. But I have visited. But I just feel like what I've heard people who live there and how it's portrayed, to me it doesn't seem to be on the level of Dallas. But yeah, what were you going to say?
It probably not on the level, but I don't know that they're entirely wrong, because you know how Austin's slogan is keep Austin. There's a slogan that depending on what area your friend is around in Dallas, because you know it's a metroplex and has all these different places. I think for Plano there's a running joke where it's like keep Plano pretentious. It's literally in the title of the thing because that's just how they are. So maybe that's the vibe that she's getting. I don't think it would be to the LA level, but I can see why maybe like a transplant would think that it is in that way. There are similarities in some level.
Do you know what I think the real issue is? I just feel like people who've never lived in the South have an idea of the South in their head. So when it doesn't live up to that stereotype, they're shocked. I think everyone is a cowboy or yeehawing all over the place. And then when they realize it's not like that, I feel like that was playing more into that assumption. But, you know, I try to write for the South because that's what I know. And I feel like people have a weird way of looking on it when they've...
Which is fair. I mean, I think, again, probably just different views of whatever... I don't ride for this. I've lived there most of my life in the United States. But I can, if something is something, it is. I know East Coasters look down on the South and they think it's backwards. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. But at the same time, it might be fair if like they see some similarities. It just might be.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So also, everyone kind of go to the restaurant and like the cover up.
It looked like it. It looked
okay. Something.
Yeah,
I thought she was gonna change or something.
Was she actually in her bathing suit by the pool?
Yes, yes, she had. I saw the tie up at the top, and she just wore like a cover up. It looked like a man. It was red. Mm-hmm. I feel like they dress her in red a lot. Yeah, and I was just like, she didn't even change. She just went from the pool.
Carrie and Samantha show up to the after party of a movie premiere. They purposely decided to skip the actual movie premiere because apparently, no one goes to the movie. But then they get there and they discover that in LA, everybody goes to the movie. But the woman at the door refuses to let them in since they're not on the list. Also, this actress, she was bugging me because I'm like, where do I know her from? And then I remembered it was from the Brady Bunch movie. So anything I've seen her in. So she asked them to step to the... Sorry, what were you saying?
I wrote down that she was the forgotten. She was the one that was always saying, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I also can't believe that Carrie's still struggling with this car.
She's all about the optics.
Because they rolled into this premiere and she's still starting and stopping. Like, she's been driving it for some time now. Like, I mean, is she really still struggling?
She asked him to step to the side and Samantha asked her if she knows who Carrie is, which made me laugh because I'm like, who is Carrie, woman? So the doorman bitchily responds, I know she's not on the list. And Samantha... gets mad and says she's gonna go get their car from valet and storms off. So Carrie's ruminating about how she's a Hollywood nobody and lights up a cigarette while waiting for Samantha to come back. And as she's smoking, Vince Vaughn approaches her and asks her for a cigarette. And they then joke about the rarity of cigarettes in LA, and he introduces himself as Keith Travers, who represents Matt Damon. This surprised me because I initially thought he was playing himself. Mm. Yeah. He asks Carrie if she's an actress and she tells him that she's a writer. And he claims that she's too pretty to be a writer. Ugh, eye roll. And she calls him out on his terrible lines. And Samantha returns from the valet, pissed that it's going to take over an hour to get their car back. But Vince Vaughn is like, oh, don't worry about it. And he gets them into the party. Samantha immediately spots her idol, we're told, Hugh Hefner, in the party, and she excitedly goes over and introduces herself. Hugh is with his usual entourage of extremely young, very blonde women, but he invites Samantha to join them for a drink. So then we go back to... What's his name? Keith? So I keep wanting to call him Vince Vaughn. Anyway, Keith, he invites Carrie to lunch with him the next day at an exclusive restaurant that she's been dying to visit since she's been in LA, but she hasn't been able to get in. And she happily accepts, and we get a voiceover that she's enjoying not feeling like an outsider anymore. And Keith then takes her to the VIP section of the club. This is, I'm just going to pause here and I say, the way they're portraying this is, to me, sometimes the inconsistency of the writing on Sex and the City, is that how famous is Carrie, you know? I feel like they haven't been consistent, even back in New York, you know? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that in a different city, it made sense that she's a nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
But then in New York, even every now and then, she's famous one time, depending on where you are. Someone says she's on a bus. Another time, no one's ever heard of her. But yes. I don't know. I think, would it make sense depending on, would someone like Big read, or did he read like the column at the time? I guess it depends what faction of society you're in. I don't know. But then she has the hookups in certain, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's just inconsistent.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think, the magazine, the newspaper she writes the column, I think it's supposed to be the equivalent of the New York Post, right?
Mm-hmm.
From what it sounds like, which is, I mean, pretty widely read, but
But it depends if people see her column as trashy or, you know, just fluffy or whatever. So I can't even tell you the tone of Carrie's column. Because yes, she asked those questions, is it that, is it this, but then she has the one that she does when she watched the videos with the guy, or the, mm-hmm. the guy who everyone he slept with. So I'm like, what voice or what tone are your columns written in? I don't know.
And then remember when she dates Roger Sterling and she, sorry, I need to use his real name. What's his name? Okay. My head? Yeah, you know who I mean.
The guy running for, yeah, district, yes. Yeah.
And she apparently manages to ruin his career by writing about him in her column. So yeah. Someone must be reading it. So, I don't know.
Well, we don't know if he ruined his career. Kind of outed him in some mm-hmm. way. So if she's insignificant, then she did nothing because the people she's trying to get it out to don't read it.
I feel you. We just want some consistency. That is all. But hey, we know the show we watch and we love, and we have to take its flaws as they are.
Yeah, so. Speaking of inconsistency, I'm going to bring up a point with this whole storyline, but not till you're done and we've wrapped it up. Then I'll ask you what you think about it, because it was bothering me the entire episode.
I have a feeling, okay, I'm excited to see if it's the same point that I'm thinking. Okay. Ooh, keeping you on the edge of your seat, guys. But anyway. Charlotte and Trey are back home after attending a black tie doctor's benefit. And Charlotte once again tries to initiate sex with him. Trey pulls away yet again. And Charlotte says, you know, maybe he should think about Viagra. He gets really angry and states that Viagra doesn't, like, vibe with men with heart problems, and he wants no parts of it since heart disease runs in his family. He announces that he's tense, so he's going for a run. And we discover that it's the fifth time in 2 weeks that he's gone for a late-night run. I just feel so sorry for Charlotte, man. She's trying. She's not, like, being mean about it as well. Like, she's pushing, yeah. But he's not doing anything to help her out. It's just making me kind of really annoyed with Trey. Because these are the yeah. kind of things that will drive you insane.
Yeah, because so, it's yeah. like, what exactly is your solution
for this? Exactly. And he just wants her to just suffer it quietly and just be there to look pretty on his arm. But anyway. So Samantha is shopping up a storm when a man on the street offers her a fake Fendi bag for $150, and she looks intrigued. And can I also say, is New York also not the center of fake bags? Do we not all know about Canal Street? Why is she acting yeah. like she's never seen fake designer bags in her life? I don't get it.
Well, don't New Yorkers not go beyond the their boroughs and...
But...
So maybe she never...
If I've heard of Canal Street, I come on, these people know. I just thought it was silly. Charlotte decides that she's missed her friends, and if Trey can run away from his problems, then so can she. So she packs her bags and surprises Carrie in her hotel room. And she tells Carrie about her frustrations with Trey. And Carrie's like, well, she's going out to meet Vince Vaughn for lunch and maybe some dessert. But she urges Charlotte to go and hang out with Samantha and Miranda, who are chilling by the pool. And Charlotte heads over to the balcony and stares down at all the, you know, hot, tanned men who are also chilling by the pool. And you could tell that she thinks that she has made a decision. So question.
Mm-hmm. When, you know, Carrie tells Charlotte that she's going out to meet Vince Vaughn, because at the party he had asked her, let me take you out on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, I was just thinking, how long exactly were they in LA for?
I feel like it was 2 weeks. Because at the beginning of this episode, I'm pretty sure she says after a week in LA.
Okay.
Then blah, blah, blah. So I think they'd already been there a week. I feel like they were there for 2 weeks.
Okay, because then I have two more questions. What exactly is she still there for since she ran away from the deal last week? And then did they say we'll still pay for your stay? And then I'm very surprised that Miranda took that much time off work.
Yeah. Who knows? And it's not even like now where you can easily work from home, you know?
No, yeah.
And do stuff. I don't know. I just think that last week when she walks out of that meeting with Matthew McConaughey, like, she doesn't drive in, I should say. I do think, okay, and you're still just going to chill. Who's paying for it? But I think they're just on vacation. Because Samantha also has an extremely busy job. So
she does, but I feel like her job can be done remotely. She just needs to call certain people, be certain people, and then, you know, you can send someone to be there. But Miranda doesn't play with her job. And usually if she has to take time off, she's always working at home. So I'm very, I don't know if I'm proud and surprised.
You know, we're making excuses for them, but it's probably inconsistency. Yeah. is the real answer. Yeah. So yeah, so Carrie and Vince Vaughn are together, and she's accompanying. Okay, she's joining him. in looking at houses, they're looking at houses, and. It's a huge house, which apparently used to belong to Lorenzo Lamas, and he's apparently thinking of purchasing it. Carrie goes on and on about how amazing it is, and then she's flirting with him and kisses him. Sometimes it's really hard to see Sarah Jessica Parker be sexy. I know you've said it. Sometimes she does it well, and then sometimes I'm just like, ugh.
But she was really good in this scene. She's very good at being flirty. Sexy. I think she's just blessed, and like at that time she was in her heyday, and she's just naturally sexy physical wise, but being flirty and coy and all that, she has that down pat.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree in the scene. It just made me a bit like, ugh. But yeah.
Oh, I thought she was really flirty here.
Yeah, I'm not saying she wasn't flirty, but it still made me cringe. Just me personally. But yeah. She looked amazing. She had an amazing purple Fendi bag and a really nice dress on. And actually, her fashions, for the most part, because obviously it's Carrie, so she's going to fuck up somewhere. For the most part in this episode, I thought she looked really good. And her hair looks fantastic. They finally fixed whatever was going on with her hair at the beginning of the season. So thank God for that. It no longer looks harshly two-toned. Sorry, but she looked really good. Yeah, so the next morning, they're all out at breakfast. Was it breakfast or lunch? I couldn't tell.
I think it was breakfast.
Okay, because I was like, she was ordering like egg white omelets and stuff. I'm just like, it sounds like breakfast, but who knows in LA? But yeah, so Charlotte is ordering a very complicated, very healthy, fat-free whatever. And the waitress clearly is not fazed by it. And she even gives her some suggestions, unlike what they would likely do in New York. And then Charlotte declares that she loves LA. Miranda then says that Lou may be the perfect guy now, that he's no longer chubby and miserable. And she says that he might be onto something with this whole inner peace and happiness thing. And she says she's probably gonna, you know, follow suit and stop being so angry all the time.
That bothered me.
Why did it bother you?
It bothered me in the sense that you're telling me that Miranda never considered being less angry until a man made her consider it. Like, really, that's that thing. And again, I could be looking for it, or maybe it's actually there. But I say it over and over again. There's something about this show that always wants to cut a woman down to size, and they always use Miranda to do it.
Yeah, they do. I feel like, honestly, we can get really, really into it if we want to get academic about it. They do it to Miranda, and they also do it to Samantha in some ways. Do you know what I mean? I feel like Miranda's always slightly being punished for being a career woman. And Samantha's always slightly being punished for being a woman who loves sex unapologetically. And it is, it's not, once you start paying attention, you're right. You see it all the time. It's almost like Miranda doesn't deserve to be happy in their eyes.
Yeah. But at least with Samantha, I feel like they give her some kind of redemption, because off the top of my head, the example of when she was sick and she suddenly felt like lonely and she needed a man. But then when she got better and someone made a comment and she's like, please, that was just temporary insanity. Like, you know, but at least she comes back and she owns it. Or if something happened, she calls somebody out. And like when she slept with the married woman's, a married man, and the lady was trying to cut her out of society, and she went back and she was basically telling her, do your worst. I don't give a fuck. But at least they always give Samantha that out. But Miranda, mm-hmm. they always make her, I just see her crying to Carrie, she's going to die alone. I see her crying about Steve and making this. I see her like, oh my God, I'm buying a house, but is it enough? Oh, I'm not engaged. But I don't see the out with Miranda. So.
So, where was I? Yeah, so Samantha then shows them all her new fake Fendi purse. And she says you can only tell it's fake by looking at the inside, at the lining. And the girls are like all amazed, like, wow, it looks so real, blah, blah, blah. And she says she got his info. So if any of them want to get a purse, like they have to go to a place called the Valley, which I thought was interesting. Like they've never heard of the Valley. Anyway, you know what? I'm going to complain about it. These people, I knew of the Valley even from Clueless, which came out in 1994? But let me just maybe they didn't see it. But yeah.
Yeah. So
her bag is full of condoms, of course, which comes out when she's showing them the bag. And Charlotte, as usual, is like, oh my gosh, like, why do you have all these condoms? And then she starts saying she's so happy she's out of that condom, like having to have condoms with her. And they kind of roll her eyes at her being a bit sanctimonious, because she says she's happy she only has to go to bed with one person for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And then they suggest that she gets a bikini wax from the same woman who did Carrie, obviously not telling her that she's going to give her a full Hollywood. And then we cut to Charlotte getting a wax, and yep, she gets everything taken off. And
I don't know how it was many years ago, but I watch it and I'm like, they're usually exaggerating, because I've just never had to have my leg up and all that stuff to get waxed. You just put your legs in a pose and that's it.
I have had to have my legs up to get waxed. Okay. I've had both. I feel like it depends on your waxer. Okay. I had a woman who tried once to get me on all fours, and I'm like, do we have to? So, yeah, I genuinely feel like it depends on your waxer.
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was like a time thing, because back in the day when I first started, it was strips, but I don't use strips anymore. So I don't know if it was like a time, as time passes by, things have changed. So.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I feel like all those positions are still in use, and it just depends on the person waxing you. Yeah, so we go to Charlotte and Miranda. Sorry, Samantha and Carrie end up going to the fake purses, and they get there is like they get barked at by dogs. It's clearly like not a nice. And the man shows them all the purses packed up in his trunk. And Carrie looks at the bags and she's like, she's not going to buy anything. She just can't. And then she lights the cigarettes and walk off. Samantha's understandably annoyed with her. Apparently they drove almost 2 hours to get there. And she has no interest in buying a fake. So the guy selling the bag is super pissed off at them, and he tells Carrie not to smoke near his dogs. No one wants you to smoke anywhere, Carrie. Nobody. Get the hint.
I thought it was near his bags. He didn't want to smoke near his bag. Bags.
Yes, yes. It was near his bag, sorry. Not his dogs.
I feel like the writers wanted that scene to be something deeper, because I think she said something about looking at the bag, something fake. I don't know. I can't remember what she said, but I'm like, yeah, it's not hitting. Whatever.
All of it. Okay, you know, usually we have like a strong fake line from her fake column. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just sent her the episode around. And I felt like they were really struggling this episode. So I'm so glad you said that, because yeah, you're right. Again, they're at lunch, and then she's telling them all that she just couldn't bring herself to get a fake purse because they all look so sad staring at her from the trunk of the car, and so she'd, you know, rather have the real thing. And Miranda agrees, and I also agree. I am not with fake bags. I know some people don't care, but I'd just have a bag than a fake bag. I just,
I just no can't thanks. Tell the difference. So,
yeah, right. People always say that. I'm like, fake brags are just, I can't. I'm sorry. But
no, I mean, like, I don't, bags are not my thing. So I don't even know what is or what even is different. Like, I'm sure if I was into bags and I was looking into, I'll probably tell the difference. But for me, it's like if someone came to me and was flexing on it on me, I'll probably be like, ooh.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I won't agree, I just I don't know what the purpose of, like, it's something deeper if you feel you have to flex with a fake bag. Like,
that's what I don't like. Because I'm just like, if you can't afford it, that's fine. They make lots of nice bags that I'm sure anyone could afford. Even Forever 21. Do you know what I mean? Like, so that means you're trying to do something, I don't know. I just don't. And I just don't like how they feel. Smell of plastic. Can't do it. Sorry.
And that's the thing. It goes back to, you know, when people are always so defensive when they say, oh, we're not dressing for other people. I'm dressing for myself. Well, clearly you're not.
Yes. Yes.
So
let's be real, right? So, yeah, Charlotte then suddenly blurts out that my marriage is a fake Fendi. And everyone's looking at her like, what? Because obviously Carrie's the only one that knows. And then she admits that from the outside, her and Trey look perfect. But on the inside, they're not having sex. They haven't had sex yet. And Samantha, of course, is freaked out like, what? You haven't had sex yet? And Charlotte says she didn't want to say anything because she knows that they'll say, I told you so. And Miranda's clearly testing out her new philosophy. And then she very softly says, oh, she has no right to judge anyone since they all have to choose their own paths in life. I'm like, Miranda, girl, this does not suit you. Be yourself. So Samantha still is just staring at her like, you haven't had sex? That's what she's hung up on. And she says, okay, well, she's got something to say that's going to cheer Charlotte up, that they've all been invited to the Playboy Mansion by Hugh Hefner for a party. So, oh my gosh. Sorry, these women are funny. I love their reactions. They're good actresses, you know, they really are. So, we then go to Vince Vaughn with Carrie. He's brought her back to his place and they're making out in a huge hot tub. And Carrie takes off her, you know, her underwear and they have sex. Miranda meets up again with Lou and they're at a really nice steakhouse enjoying a dinner. And he's telling her how he doesn't really miss New York at all. But then he takes a bite of his steak, he chews it and then spits it out into a napkin. So Miranda's like, looks at him kind of crazy, but then he does it again. And so Miranda asks him if there's something wrong with this food. He says, it's fine, but he didn't lose 30 pounds by eating. And Miranda looks at him like, whoa, what the hell? And then he, of course, gets all defensive and says she has no idea how much pressure he's under and how nobody in LA wants to hire a fat story editor. So Miranda realizes that he has an eating disorder. So,
I think that honestly, it's impressive to chew and not swallow your food.
Yeah,
you just spit it out.
Discipline, right?
And the one thing Miranda is not gonna do is she's gonna eat her food. Like, doesn't matter what the scene is. Miranda is eating. I think she chews with her mouth open, but that's just me.
She does.
But she gonna eat her food. But were they alluding to the show he writes on? Who was Friends?
Yes, that's what I was gonna say as well. Because she's making fun. No, it's fine. She's making fun of him. That this is what I'm saying. I don't know if this is what you were gonna bring up, but whatever. About his show, how unrealistic it is, because she has someone on a waiter's salary living in a huge loft in New York is unrealistic. And I'm like, is this Sex and the City being self-aware? Oh, no. Because it came up twice. I was just like, it's either the pot calling the kettle black, or this is my level of self-awareness. And I don't think that show is that self-aware. What did you think?
That was not what I was going to bring up, but I just thought they were throwing shade because both of them were at the height of, you know, their careers. And they both have explanations. I mean, Carrie was in rent control, apparently. And then for Monica, her grandparents left it to her.
Yeah.
I just feel like Friends get a lot more criticism than it deserves. But that's just me. I love the show. Same,
we've spoken about it. It's because people are bored and they like to jump on a bandwagon. And all of a sudden like to hate things that were popular. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Because they think it makes them look edgy and cool. Friends is completely inoffensive. Even if it wasn't your thing. I loved Friends at the time. I haven't rewatched it in years. And I kind of want to see if I still loved it. But I loved Friends at the time. And we all did. We all watched it. So even if it wasn't your fave, you're not going to come here on the internet and come say Friends is terrible and we're all pretending. It's like, get a life. I'm sorry, you see, I'm ranting, but nothing irks me more than people who hate things just to sound cool. Just get a life. It's not that deep. It's not that deep. Yeah, but yeah, Friends was, I remember the Friends finale, I think it was my first year in college. Like, we watched it in the cinema on campus. They set it up and it was packed because we all love Friends. Let's not rewrite history. But yeah, coming back to another show that everyone loved. Sex in the City. So Carrie and Keith, Vince Vaughn, they're spooning as they wake up the next morning, and he tells her that he really likes what she has going on down there, meaning her fresh wax. And she is like all giggly, and then she asks him why he never seems to have to go to work. And before he can answer, Carrie Fisher enters the room, R.I.P. And she's like, what the hell are you doing? And Vince Vaughn jumps up and she's like, whoa, like, what are you doing back? And she says, she reminds him that she forbade him to have prostitutes over while he was house sitting. And Carrie's like, what the hell is going on here? And he finally admits that he's not an agent at all, that he's Carrie Fisher's personal assistant. Carrie Fisher is completely pissed off, picks up Carrie's, like, was it her bra or her underwear, like her panties?
I thought it was her bikini bottoms.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. It was just like, why would you pick this up? Anyway, yeah, sorry. So picks up her bikini bottom and gives it back to her, looking completely disgusted. And then Carrie wants to make clear that she's not a prostitute, that she's Carrie Bradshaw. And she says it in a way that she would know who she was, and when she's clear that she doesn't know who you are, Carrie, she's like, yeah, she's a columnist in New York. And she's like, I'm Carrie, you're Carrie, we're both right. And Carrie's looking at her like,
what? This mad prostitute out of my house.
Thank you, out of my house. And then what makes me laugh, she goes, I can't do this. I have a child. And then she sniffs the air and asks if someone's been smoking in there. So Carrie slinks out wisely and hightails it out of there.
Okay. I have many, many, many thoughts. Not many thoughts, yes, but I have thoughts.
Let me hear.
Okay. So first of all, like you said, RIP Carrie Fisher, RIP Hugh Hefner. It's just kind of weird watching these things back because now we've had people who've passed away and, you know, we see them in the episode. So what I would say was, I don't know if it was lazy writing, is we find out that he's Carrie Fisher's personal assistant, but how come he was able to get them through the party, get them to VIP, get them to all the stuff?
Yep.
If that was...
Yes. Even before that, Tane, he says he's also Matt Damon's personal assistant. Like, where in LA would someone be personal assistant to that many big stars? It's just not
going to happen. No, he said he was Matt Damon's agent. He was representing him.
Yes, but when she busts him, like, he says he's her personal assistant, but he also mentions and Matt Damon's.
Oh, like, okay.
He's also there. Like, he does errands for them, is what is implied. And I just feel like it'd be weird for someone to be employed like that, but that's besides the point. But yes, I agree with you. It's fishy. Because remember the part where he invites her to go to VIP? Some guy comes over to him. Maybe if they're all personal assistants, maybe they're all like hook each other up. But that's not how it was portrayed. Like, he saunters into the party with them. Like, he
posted. Yep. Wasn't anything. And then the last thing for me, I think one of the episodes when we were discussing just what Carrie sees in Big and all that, I think you had mentioned something about, you know, his status plays a part into what she likes or whatever. I don't know that I ever fully believed that Carrie was into, you know, the money or the whatever, but I think this solidified it for me that yes, that is actually a thing, because she did like the fact that at the time she thought Keith was a high power person, his house was rich, he had views, he had things. She really like fell into it, and I was like, huh, that's a different, you know, side of Carrie that I'm adding to my arsenal, because I just never thought, for things I think Carrie is, I just never thought she was like, no, she is materialistic, but I just never thought money played a huge factor. Or maybe she just discovered it herself too, because she said, I'm beginning to like LA. I don't know, but yeah. I thought that was interesting about Carrie for me.
I feel like they all are, but some of just shout louder about it than others, you know, because it was clearly burning her not being a somebody in LA, where she feels that she has that social status in New York. And I guess she has dated quote unquote bums as well, but she's always made it very clear that she's just fucking them. You know, remember the guy, the character played by Tim Oliphant? With his crappy apartment. It's that she's never had, like, it's not like she's trying to wipe them up. Do you know what I mean? But I feel like she doesn't shout about it. But they're all, I feel like, low key a bit like that. Because the same. And Steve, she was initially kind of embarrassed to be dating him because he's a bartender, you know, and it doesn't match, and honestly it's not unrealistic, it's real life. So but yeah, you make a good point, it's just not as immediately obvious, but yeah, I do think she definitely enjoys status, but she just doesn't shout about it like Charlotte, for example. But yeah, so they all arrived at the Playboy Mansion for the party. And I'm sorry, I've said Carrie has looked so good for the majority of this episode, but I did not like cover up whatever it was she was wearing. It was literally black covered in stones. Oh, you did?
I like all of their outfits. I think they all looked really good. And they were sauntering in.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. But yeah. So yeah, they're all having fun, and Charlotte is tipsy and flirting with a guy called Ian, but he eventually offers out of the blue to buy her a new set of boobs, and Charlotte reacts exactly as Charlotte does, like, oh my God, and like gets up and storms away and realizes that being single is the pit, so she is going to stick with her marriage, basically. And Samantha comes running up to Carrie and telling her that someone has stolen her fake Fendi bag. And then,
Sorry, I just realized I had a note on the Charlotte thing. Before you go further down. Oh, so when Charlotte just said had forgotten how rough single life can be, and suddenly marriage and all these problems didn't seem so bad, I don't know if that made me sad or made me happy. This is how people get stuck in situations that are less than ideal, for lack of a better word. Because how do you find the balance? Because it's true. Like, dating is truly a jungle. But I also do say that marriage is like a cult where you don't know until you're in it, and then you know what it is you're going to face. Because I feel like every couple is going to face something that is like a huge thing. You just don't know what it is until you're in it. And it's like, you have to make that choice. Is it something I could deal with, or is it not? And it's just, I felt bad, Charlotte, is what I'm trying to say.
And I mean, like, she's only freshly into marriage, and she has been in the jungle in her single life. Has she forgotten that quickly?
Exactly, because it's like, do you stick to your husband who loves you, who's there for you, but he's not gonna have sex with you and doesn't even want to try, which is truly the sin of Trey, or you go out there and someone's telling you, let me buy you boobs. So
Free of charge, guys. Free of charge. He's very, very generous. And then she spots a blonde, one of Hugh's bunnies, holding exactly the same bag as the one that's just been stolen. So she immediately assumes that it's her bag, storms over to her, and accuses her of stealing her bag. And she's like, I didn't steal your bag. This is mine. And Samantha's like, look, open it on the inside. It's just a made in China. And she shows on the inside is clearly a real Fendi bag made in Italy. And Hugh comes over and he's like, what's up? And Samantha repeats her accusation that she thinks this woman stole her purse. And once she proves that it isn't her, Samantha is clearly mortified. But then Hugh has already given a signal to the security guard to escort her out of the party. And then she yells, I'm not leaving without my friends. And so they go and look for Miranda and Carrie because she's with Charlotte at this moment. And Miranda and Carrie have managed to find themselves in a cave full of random, a whole group of like random topless women chilling in the water. And Miranda goes, look, it's tit soup. So what was the point? I didn't get it. But anyway, so the security guard finds them and they all leave together. And so we get a voiceover that the fake Fendi ended up costing $150 for the bag, $2,000 in stolen credit card charges, and untold damage to Samantha's ego. My thing is, did credit cards not reimburse you back then, or?
Well, maybe just the damage, and she'll probably get it, but she's just listing how much she was probably sorted out of. Yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering. And so, yeah, we cut to the next day. Everyone's packed up and getting ready to leave. And we get a voiceover saying, the next day, four New Yorkers left L.A. a little lighter. Some of us had lost our hair, and all of us had lost a little dignity. Samantha couldn't wait to get back to the crime-free streets of Manhattan. Yeah, right. Miranda couldn't wait to get back to men who swallowed. That made me laugh. And Charlotte couldn't wait to get back to Trey. And as for Carrie, she couldn't wait to get back to smoking indoors. And so the episode ends with Carrie very happy to be back in her apartment. And she says it looks even better on the inside than she remembers it, because inside it was all real. So she lights up another cigarette. She's making up for lost time here. And says that she's starting to feel like herself again. And the rest of her will grow back eventually. And that's how the episode ends.
Good on them for adding her the itch and scratching as it grows back. For real.
Eventually. Do you know what? I thought she didn't mention Aiden once, right?
No.
On this whole 2-week vacation. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so that's how the episode ended. Did you have anything else to add?
No, it was a kind of meh episode for me. So I'm glad it's done, over. We're back to New York.
Yeah, I didn't mind it just because I thought it was so much better than the previous one. But yes, I agree with you. It's definitely good to be back. So, Tank, can you please tell the people where they can find us?
You can find us at The Rewatch Times 2, TheRewatchX2. That's our handle on Twitter, handle on Instagram. And if you want to send us an email at gmail.com.
And please don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating and a review if you're so inclined. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.